This evening, we are going to look at a couple of other passages, but they'll all be in the Gospel of John, so it won't be difficult to find. John chapter 8, and to begin with, I want us to read just three verses. We're going to eventually look at more than three, but let's look beginning at verse 18, verses 18 and 19. Well, let's start at verse 17. I think that'll help us. John chapter 8, verse 17. Jesus is speaking. He says, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Then said they unto him, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." Notice that last phrase, verse 19. "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the privileges and the blessings that you give us. The privilege and the blessing of knowing you, and therefore the privilege and the blessing of knowing the Father. The forgiveness that you grant to us. The life that you give us. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look into your word. Guide us by your Spirit into all truth. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God the Father is the Creator. God the Father is the head of the Trinity. God the Father is the Father of the Trinity. God the Father is the Father of the believer. God the Father is the Father of the Son. God the Father is the Father of all believers. Well, didn't you say that twice? No, first I said he's the Father of the believer, singular, and then I said he's the Father of believers, plural. So the question then tonight is, whose child are you? And that question was asked of Jesus. And then he also pointed out that the people who were asking him that question needed to answer it for themselves. But what I want us to look at here is Gospel of John, chapter 8, and we're going to begin at verse 12. Now, the first 11 verses are very important. It's the story of the woman taken adultery who's brought before Jesus. I do not want to minimize that. It's not only a great story, it's great truth in it. A great example of God's love and forgiveness. But I want us to consider our topic tonight is my Father, your Father, and our Father. My Father, your Father, and our Father. Take a look at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. You follow me, you'll never have darkness. You won't get lost. You follow me, I will lead you the right way. Verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of yourself. Thy record is not true. Now, first of all, they're thinking in the sense of the law. Because the law did say, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a matter be confirmed. And if Jesus is giving testimony of himself and he has not corroborated witnesses, then it's not accepted as valid testimony. They have that in mind. The other thing they have in mind is, well, you can claim anything you want to. But is there any proof? You know, you can claim to be somebody that you're not. People do that all the time. People do that when they are con artists and cheaters. But people do that sometimes just to make themselves accepted by others. I knew a young fellow many years ago. He was a handsome young man, had a great personality. And everybody who met him, just one of these people, as soon as you meet him, you just instantly like the guy. You just did. And he made friends so easily. But he would say things about himself that weren't true. He'd make claims about himself. He'd claim things that weren't true. Now, why did he do that? Honestly, I'm not sure. People liked him anyway. They liked him for who he was, and he would claim to be something greater than he was. Now, this is not one of the things he said, but to give you an example of what I'm talking about, he said, you know, I'm actually of Dutch royalty, and I'm living here in the United States, and I don't have all my titles and everything, but he didn't make that claim, but he made similar claims. And he claimed things that just weren't true, and they weren't real. I said he had a great personality, nice-looking young man. Everybody liked him, but when they found out they lied, then they didn't like him anymore. But what he's saying, the point is, be yourself and be who you're supposed to be. Don't claim to be something you're not. And that's what they're accusing Jesus of here. They're accusing him in John chapter 8 of being something he's not as well. You know, you can claim this for yourself. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came. I know where I came from. And I know whither I go. I know where I'm going. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And what he's telling them is you don't understand the situation. You don't know what you're talking about. The fact is, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you don't understand that. Then comes a statement that I believe may be the saddest statement made in the Bible. There's some beautiful truths in the Bible. There's some glorious truths that are taught. But I think this next thing that Jesus says may be the saddest words in the Bible. In verse 16, Jesus said, "Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I am the Father that sent me." So I'm not alone. Who's with me? The Father is with me. And there's no question about that. I'm not alone. So it's not just my witness. It's my witness and the Father. Do you want two witnesses? There they are. My witness and the Father. And the Father did what? The Father sent the Son. But in verse 17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men are true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, "Where is thy Father?" You know what they're doing? That's a dig, and they're going to do it again later. They know that Joseph was not his father. And what they're saying is, "Yeah, your father, where is your father? We'd like to see your father. We're not really sure who your father is. Why didn't your father come and speak up?" You don't think that's what they meant? Stay with me. You'll see it. Verse 19 again. Then they said unto him, "Where is thy father?" Jesus answered, "Listen, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also." You don't know the Father because you don't know me. If you had known me, Jesus said, you would have known my Father. You wouldn't be asking me, "Where is your Father?" Verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. They wanted to hear come those sad words I was telling you about. Verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Do you understand what he's saying there? What is he saying? He's saying, Jesus said in verse 21, "I go my way." Where's he going? He's going home to the Father. He's going to heaven. "I go my way, and ye shall seek me." You'll be looking for me. But you're going to die in your sins. Where I'm going, heaven, you can't come. Wow. I do believe those may be the saddest words in all of life. It doesn't end there. Verse 22, then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, whether I go, you cannot come." What's he talking about? What does he mean? He's going somewhere we can't go. Is he going to kill himself? Where could he go that we couldn't? They didn't understand. They didn't get it. In verse 23, and he said unto them, "Ye are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." A clear distinction there. I'm from heaven. You're not. You're from this world. I'm not. And where I'm going, you're not. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. Why? Why are they going to die in their sins? Look at it. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Was there any hope for them? Yes. Verse 24, if they believe. But because they did not believe in him, they were going to die in their sins. In the third chapter of Gospel of John, he says something very similar. Verse 18, he said, "He that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." That's 30-36. I'm sorry, I got that mixed up with 18 and 36. I meant 18. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What does it say here in verse 24?
I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. You will die separated from God. How long? Forever. You will die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. You shall die in your sins. He pronounced judgment upon them. He told them, you're not going where I'm going. And it's worse than being left behind. You're going to another place. Verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? Who are you? What are you talking to us like this? You know why they felt that way? Who were they? They were the religious leaders of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And I do not say that sarcastically. They were the religious leaders of God's chosen people. And yet, they did not know God. Now, it's not that they, listen, it's not they didn't know God because they didn't have the Word of God. They had the Word of God. It's not they didn't know God because none of their ancestors believed in God and taught about God. They did. It's not they didn't know God because they had no evidence upon which to believe in God. They had plenty of evidence. Chose not to believe that which was given to them. So they said unto him, verse 25, who art thou? Who are you? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me, he said that before, he that sent me, who did he say sent him? The Father. He that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They didn't get it. They didn't understand that he was saying, I know the things I know and I teach the things I teach because they were given to me by my Father. I am sent by the Father. And they didn't understand that. Now listen, if they had believed that he was sent by the Father, if they had believed that he taught those things which the Father taught him, they would have had to have acknowledged him as the Messiah. And there was their problem. They would not acknowledge him as the promised one, the anointed one, the sent one, the Savior. They wouldn't do it. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when, not if, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. Several times he refers to being lifted up. In chapter 3, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again he says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself. And here he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man. When you have lifted up the Son of Man. What is all this lifted up? He's talking about the cross. Lifted up on the cross. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. What do you mean? You know that I'm him. You know that I'm the Son of Man. You'll know that I'm the Messiah. You'll know that I'm the Savior. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father's with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. Do you realize that last statement? Very simple statement. I do always those things that please him. There's only one person who's ever walked this earth who could make that statement. I do always the things that please God. Who is the one who always does that which pleases the Father, the Son? I can't stand here and tell you I always do things that please the Father. Now, I'll be honest with you, I try to please the Father. I want to please the Father. One day, a man out here in the parking lot said to me, he said, you're not thinking right. I said, then tell me how to think right, because I want to think right. I want to be right.
verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Many did. Now, there were the Pharisees there. Did the Pharisees believe in him? Some of them. And were there other people there? It is evident that there were other people there. Did some of them believe on him? Some of them. Did everybody there believe? No. You'll see that very clearly as we proceed on. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, those who did, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now those Jews refers to, they were, are the Sanhedrin. They were some of the religious leaders who did believe. Well, which ones did? Well, we know Nicodemus believed. We know that Joseph of Arimathea believed. They were part of the Pharisees. There were others apparently that did, but again, there were those who didn't. Now, he is, it's the same sentence, so you cannot separate verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're talking about my Father, your Father, and our Father. Notice the discussion that happens. Verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. And how sayest thou, he shall be made free? Now they're talking about in their faith, in their religion, we're the descendants of Abraham. We hold the truth. We have the truth. How can we were never in bondage to anybody? What do you mean we're going to be made free? We have the truth. But I want you to notice the absurdity of that statement. How's it absurd? Well, look at it again, verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. That's not absurd. He'll deal with that in a second. Here's the absurdity. And we're never in bondage to any man. Really? How about 400 years in Egypt? How about being 70 years in Babylon? How about being under the Medo-Persian Empire? How about being under the Greek Empire? And as they stand there talking, they're under the Roman Empire. And I heard somebody say this week, it was a teaching I think I heard on the radio, perhaps I read it, I'm not sure. But I heard a teaching this week that it has been 2,000, Israel went 2,000 years without being a nation. Do you know that's not true either? It was more like 3,500 years. From the time of the Babylonian captivity until the restoration to it as a state in 1948. A long, long time. Not in bondage to any man. They were in bondage constantly. And they were in bondage as they spoke. But they were saying, well, we have the truth. What do you mean? You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. We're Abraham's children. We have the truth, so we are free. Verse 34, Jesus settles that question. Jesus answered them, you want to speak physically or spiritually? Physically, you are in bondage. Spiritually, you say you're free. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Even if you are Abraham's seed, even if you do have the truth, if you sin, you are in bondage to sin. Romans chapter 6 and 7, Paul writes two whole chapters on that, being in bondage to sin. Whosoever commits sin is in bondage to sin. So in verse 35, he says, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. It is the son who is going to live eternally. The servant, his position there is temporary. Then he tells him in verse 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, he
You shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Now they did. They did seek to kill him. They had hatched a plot to kill him, to take him out of the way, because they were afraid that he was going to ruin the relationship they had politically and the position that they held. Can I interject something here? I think most everybody here knows me well enough. No, I'm not a real political preacher, but I'm gonna make a political statement right now. I think you ought to educate yourself regarding politics. I do. I think politics are important. I think our government is important. I think our nation is important. I think our state is important. Our city and county are important. You ought to find out who's running them and what they're about, and you ought to vote. And if you don't like something, you ought to contact the officials. Have you ever done that? Many times. Many times. Has that ever done any good? Sometimes. Not every time. But the fact of the matter is, I think you ought to do all those things. I think you ought to vote. If something's up for a vote, you ought to go vote on it. Well, I don't even know who the candidate is. Find out. I don't even understand what the issue is. Get educated. Look it up. Can't find it? Ask some people. Ask around until you find out. Can I give you one good source? And there are many. One good source for finding out. You want to go on the internet, and you want to go to the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections. Anytime an election comes up, it's right here on that website. It tells you who the candidates are, what the issues are, what it is that you're voting on. It's all right there. Really takes you a matter of minutes to find out. Well, does that tell me everything I could ever want to know? No, it doesn't tell you everything you could ever want to know, but it's going to tell you the essentials, that at least you know who the candidates are and what they're running for. And usually it'll link you to their website where you can find out more or what the issue is that's being voted on. What do you say? I'm saying educate yourself. Having said all that, folks, politics will never save us. It won't. It won't. Are you saying it doesn't matter? I just told you you need to vote. You need to get it. No, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. You saying I shouldn't care? No, you should care. You definitely should care. But if we elect all the right people, whoever you think the right people are, and if we vote for all the right issues, whatever you consider the right issues to be, and if everything we vote for gets elected and passes, it's still not going to save us. That's what I'm saying. Our salvation is not there. Our salvation is in Christ. So in verse 36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. Why? Politics. Didn't want him messing up the relation they had with the Romans and the position they had, and the Caiaphas states that clearly. If we don't do something about this man, the Romans are going to come take away our place in our nation. But you know what? Romans did that anyway. They did. They took away their place in their nation. Verse 37 again, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen, look, with my Father. My Father. Who says that? Jesus. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Earlier he said, I am from above, you're from beneath. You're of this world, I am not of this world. Here he says, I do what I've seen with my Father, you do what you've seen with your Father. Again, he's drawing a line of separation. Look at verse 39. They answered him and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. He said, you're Abraham's children. You don't act like Abraham. Abraham wouldn't do what you're doing. Abraham wouldn't seek to commit murder. Was Abraham a perfect man? Certainly not. But the honest truth is, he wasn't a murderer. And he certainly did not turn away from his faith in God. If Abraham were your father, you would do the works of your, you were Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. You don't do the work of Abraham. Verse 41, he says, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. You see, where is your father? We're not the children of fornication. You see what they're saying? Well, we know. We know you're from Galilee up there in Nazareth, and we know that guy Joseph, he wasn't your father. We've heard the stories. Show us your father. Have your father come out. We're not born of fornication like you are. That's their accusation. 41 again. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. God is our father. We are not sure who your father is, but God is our father. 42, Jesus said of them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Who sent it? God. Who sent it? The Father. The one who he claims as my father. 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You don't have the Spirit of God. You cannot understand the things that I'm teaching you. They are spiritually discerned. Well, he didn't say all that. No, but it says that elsewhere in Scripture. And that's what he was indicating. I said verse 21 to 24, the saddest words I think in the Bible. And I stand by that statement. Verse 44 comes close behind that. For the Lord says, ye are your father, the devil. Remember how he said, I do the things which I've seen of my father. You do the things which you've seen of your father. He says, you're of your father with the devil. That's who your father is. And you act like him. If you are Abraham's children, you should act like Abraham. You want to commit murder. Abraham didn't do that. You want to murder a godly man. Abraham wouldn't do that. Abraham believed in me. You want to kill me. You're not acting like Abraham's your father. But he says here, you are your father, the devil, and lust your father, you will do. And he names it. He says, you are plotting murder. He was a murderer from the beginning. You do not understand the truth. He abode not in the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. And in essence, he's saying no truth in you either. When he speaks of the lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. This is your father. I've been telling you about my father. This is your father. You know what? If I said that, it wouldn't mean much. If most any man said that, it wouldn't mean much. Oh, it might be somebody saying something, trying to be insulting. You've known people do that. Try to insult somebody by saying something ugly about their father or their mother. Does that make it true? It certainly does not. But when Jesus says it, it's true. Verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Why don't they believe? Because he's telling them the truth. And they didn't want to hear the truth. You don't believe the truth. Again, 45, because I believe the truth, I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And then verses 46 and 47, he says, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Which of you is accusing me of sin, and which of you has evidence that I have sinned? Do you notice that nobody speaks up and says anything? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? 44, he says, you are your father, the devil. 47, he says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. You're you're not one of God's children. And a lot of people think that, oh, we're all God's children. There's that Christmas song. It's kind of a nice little Christmas song. You may not like it. You may like it. I don't know. But the song is, Here Comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus right down Santa Claus Lane. And there's a line in that song that says, Santa knows we're all God's children. That makes everything right. That is what the world believes. We're all God's children, so everything's all right. The problem with that statement is, it's not true. It's not true. Now, please don't come to me afterwards and say, well, Santa Claus didn't treat me that. Please, I'm not getting into that. All right. Just understand this concept that we're all God's children is not true. How do you know? Jesus said so. You're of your father the devil, lust your father you will do. And in verse 47, and he that is of God, he that is God's child, heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. They understood perfectly what he was saying. They got that part. And now they're going to try to turn it around. You know what they're about to do? You ever, when you were a kid, you're two kids arguing, and one of them says something ugly about the other, calls them a name, and the other one doesn't really know how to respond, so they say, yeah, well, so are you. You've seen that, haven't you? Mm-hmm. That's what's about to happen. It is. Look at verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now, why did they call him a Samaritan? Well, he wasn't from Judea. He was from up in Galilee. Now, that's not technically part of Samaria. Samaria is in between the two, but hey, we're not sure who his father is. Probably a Samaritan. And Samaritans, they're not really part of Israel. I mean, their ancestors were, but they got all intermarried and intermingled, and they're not really. We Jews, we're the real children of Israel, the real children of Abraham. And you're a Samaritan. But they didn't stop there. They said, you're a Samaritan and you have a devil. You call us children of the devil, you have a devil. 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor, look at it, my Father. He says it again, my Father. I honor my Father and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Oh, you just prove. We know you have a devil. You've got some demon spirit in you. Probably from your Samaritan father. You see how ugly they are? Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Notice verse 53 carefully. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Our father's Abraham. Not sure who your father is. Some Samaritan. We passed on a devil to you, but our father's Abraham. You think you're greater than Abraham because you say, if a man keep my saying, he'll never taste of death. And they understood, they saying, if you listen to my words and you believe and follow my words, you're never going to die. You're going to have eternal life. You're going to heaven. They got that. And what they're saying here is, we hold the truth. You do not, because you're not one of us. Now, again, they didn't think that. That's about as absurd as that we were never in bondage to any man's state. What do you mean, not one of us? Well, you're not Jewish, you're a Samaritan. Folks, he was of the house and lineage of David. You don't get any more Jewish. You don't. Which means he's of the tribe of Judah, where the term Jew comes from. You couldn't be more Jewish. Not possible. Art thou greater at 53 again than our father Abraham, which is dead? He didn't say he that believes my words has everlasting life. The prophets didn't say that. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets, whom makest thou thyself? Who are you claiming to be? Well, it's pretty clear who he's claiming to be, isn't it? There's not much question about it. None if we're honest. Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me. Do you see how he repeatedly refers to God as my Father? It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet have ye not known him. You claim him as your God. He's my Father. But you don't really even know him. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him. I do know him and keep his saying. You might, those of you who are here this morning, might remember that I was telling you this. A lot of my life where I knew about God, but I did not know God. I knew a lot of things about God, relatively speaking. But I did not know God. And the difference between knowing about God and knowing God is literally the difference between life and death. It really is. And that's what Jesus is saying here. 54 again, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. A man who honors himself, it is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God, yet have you not know him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Whoa. Abraham was rejoicing to see the coming of the Messiah, and he saw it. Folks, Abraham at this point hasn't been dead for years. He hasn't been dead for decades. He hasn't been dead for centuries. He's been dead for millennia. And he saw Jesus' day. That's what he said. How did he see him? Remember the story? Abraham is in his tent one day. He looks down the road, and there's three men coming down the road. And Abraham, we learned later, that two of those men are angels who would be sent to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but that third one, Abraham recognized him, knew who that was. And Abraham is called the friend of God. But you know, it's not the fact that Abraham hosted the Lord in his house. That's not what makes Abraham who he is. What makes Abraham who he is that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You know about God, you don't know God. 57, he's about to say something else very striking here. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. That's true. He wasn't 50 years old. He was in his early 30s. Thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? Abraham died thousands of years ago. You're not even 50 years old. You're going to tell us you've seen Abraham. Oh, look at verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham, was, I am. Notice what he said there. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said before Abraham was, I am. After Abraham, another fellow comes along named Jesus. He's told to go down and talk to the people of Israel and talk to Pharaoh and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt and to the promised land. And Moses asks a logical question. Now, when I go down and tell them this, what authority am I going under? Who shall I say has sent me? And God said, I am that I am. El Olam, the eternal one. I am that I am. Tell them I am that sent you. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Did they get it? Did they understand that he was saying, I not only was in Abraham's day, and before Abraham, I'm the one who sent Moses. Did they understand that? Did they understand that he's saying, I am the eternal one? Well, look at verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Yeah, they understood. They were going to stone him. For what? For blasphemy. And you know what? It would be blasphemy if it weren't true. You ever hear that saying, it ain't bragging if it's true? You ever hear that? Well, this is that magnified millions of times. It would be blasphemy if it weren't true. Notice the rest of verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, and going through the midst of them, stood on his side. Isn't that something? They were about to stone him in the temple. They're not out in the field somewhere, in the temple. And he just walks through and leaves. How do you do that? I don't know. I don't know. There's numerous ways he could have done. Remember the day of the resurrection? He's walking with two of the disciples. It said their eyes were open that they could not see him. Maybe it was the same case. Or maybe, as we sang a while ago, and I told you to pay attention to the word, maybe as we sang a while ago, he is the immortal, invisible God only once. Maybe that's what happened. But he went to pass by. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me just a page or so over to John chapter 10. And we're just about finished. John chapter 10, verse 24. This is not the same occasion, but you're going to find some similar talking here, some similar language. John 10, verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. Had he not told them there in the temple who he was? Yes. And now they're coming around saying, well, you're really the Christ. Why don't you just come right out and say so? Mm. He did. He did come right out and say so. 25 again, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do, here it is, in my Father's name. My Father. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe me not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Notice verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Again. What does it mean again? Well, we just read about it back in chapter 8. They were going to stone him for saying, before Abraham was, I am. And now he says, I and my Father are one. You're going to come across some people in your lifetime who are going to tell you Jesus never claimed to be God. Don't you listen to them for one second. Don't you believe it? On two occasions here, they were going to stone him. Why were they going to stone him? Well, let's look at it. 31, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Who did the good works? My Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. That's why they're going to stone him. I don't ever listen to anybody say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Okay. They were going to stone him because he said he was God. And on two occasions, first occasion he walks away, this time he answers them, but on neither occasion does Jesus say, hold on, put those rocks down. You misunderstood. That's not what I meant. Never said that. Why didn't he say that? Because he's not a liar. We're going to stone you not for doing something good, but for blasphemy. You claim to be God. Now let's go to chapter 20 and we're finished. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and look at verse 11. This is the resurrection morning. In John chapter 20, verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, past tense, it had been there. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. We've talked about that before, and we can again, but I think there's good reasons why she didn't. 15, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She recognized him. Notice verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to whom? My Father. My Father. I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Isn't that wonderful? My Father is your Father. He don't say that to everybody. To the brother. To the believer. I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. In chapter 8, he was talking to the religious leaders of the day. He talked to them about the one who is his Father, but not their Father. In chapter 10, he says, I'm talking to you about the one that is my God, and you claim him to be your God, but you've missed something. Skip down to verse 27, if you would. You know the backstory of this. We won't take time to read it. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. What did he call him? My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and I. We're not going to turn to any more passages or read anything else, but remind you of Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. I encourage you to read it out for yourself. You're familiar with it. That's where Jesus taught the model prayer. And when he taught us to pray, to whom did he tell us to address our prayer? Our Father. Our Father. My Father. Your Father. He's not all God's children. Not everyone can claim him as the Father. Jesus said he's my Father. And he says he's your Father. And he taught us to pray to our Father. If you believe that he is the Savior. Let's pray. Our Father. What a privilege, what a wonderful thing it is to come to you by faith and call you our Father and know that it is true. Not because
of works of righteousness, which we have done, but because of your mercy, you have saved us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous. But Jesus said, he that believes in me has everlasting life. Lord, we thank you that as your children, we are joint heirs with Christ and heirs of the things that you have for us. Eternal life and love. Help us each day to live like children of the King of Kings. Help us to live like those who can claim you as our Father. Now, Lord, we ask that you bless and move as we give an invitation time. Now, have you spoken to anyone? There's a heart that's been touched by you, perhaps by the message tonight, perhaps not. Maybe you've been dealing with someone and they need to do business with you. Lord, we want to give them that opportunity. Bless and move in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're singing tonight the same hymn we sang this morning, number 388. It wasn't by accident, it was by design. God's spoken to you, let him have his own voice.